Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
In regard to my work with the church, I love being able to be a gospel preacher. I value the opportunities that is given to me each day throughout the course of the week and even beyond, to be able to sit down and to study from God's holy and inspired Word. So grateful for the years ago when I was able to go through the School of Preaching, and it is there that they really encouraged us and taught us during that time of education to be able to understand how to study the Bible and to develop sermons that not only are scriptural but also that are able to connect with people in our everyday walk of lives as Christians. And I'm grateful for the opportunities to be able to study God's Word, to develop lessons, and then for those moments such as our time together today to present those lessons before those souls, those ears that are eager to hear and desires to learn. I'm also grateful for those opportunities such as we engage in nearly every week anymore, and that is times to be able to sit down across the table with people and to study from God's Word. And I get this excitement about me and this chill that runs down my spine whenever you see a light come on in those people that you're studying with and they say, I want to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. There's nothing that brings me any greater joy, nothing that excites me any more than to see a soul become a Christian, to have their sins forgiven by our God and to be added by the Lord unto the Lord's church. There are so many things about being a preacher that I love and that I enjoy. But brethren, there are also some things that bring me great challenges. And one of the things that challenges me most is being in the presence of people whenever someone dies. To some degree, I'm lost for words, to be quite honest with you. I remember whenever I saw the first person, if you would, that I have witnessed die, how that I was just emotionally a wreck, how that I was crying uncontrollably, and I could only imagine how the family must have felt. I've been in the presence of some who have passed peacefully, in that they just simply closed their eyes and they died. Not a word, not a sound from their voice. I've been in the presence of others where that in regard to their death they are talking about family that had already passed on years and years ago. I've been in the presence also of some where that they are talking about family that have passed on and they're calling for their mother or their father who have passed on. And people have asked me, do they see them as they're getting ready to pass from this life and into eternity? And to which I say, I don't know. I've been in the presence of others that did not have their family member there at the moment. Or maybe they had just part of their family there and they would call for certain family members. And they would wait for that family member to arrive and just immediately, whenever they heard that person's voice, they would draw their last breath and they would pass from this life into eternity. I've been in the presence of others whenever their family member maybe had not been there. They've been calling for them and their family member arrives and they engage in a short conversation and then they draw their last breath and die. I've been in the presence of family whenever all have been around even. And the loved one look into the eyes of those that they're leaving behind. And they say, I love you. And then they die. I've been in the presence of individuals who have said, I love you. And they say, I want you to understand that even though I am dying and you are going on, be faithful to our God. And then they die. whether they say words if they're whenever they're getting ready to draw their last breath, or hours before they draw their last breath, these people have last words that they speak. And all of us will have last words that we speak before we die. And what the Bible teaches us in regard to our words and the words of everyone is that every person's words are extremely important. And whether a person is drawing near to death or whether a person we think that they have years to live, God expects us to listen very clearly and very attentively to the things that people have to say. Why? Because these souls are important to God. And God has created, He's fashioned, He's formed every one of us with the ability to speak as well as with the ability to listen, to hear. And therefore, God does not want us to go through life just simply hearing someone speak, but yet at the same time not paying attention to what people have to say. We all like to be heard, do we not? We all like to say what is on our minds. We all like to be able to express our feelings. And by all means, God wants us to do that. But at the same time, on the other end, if we are hearing someone speak, if someone has something that they want to say, that they want to share with us, God wants us to respond respectively, to give them our full attention. We all know what it's like whenever people do not pay attention to what it is that we're saying. I went to the lectureship down at Fried Hardeman this last February for a few days. And there was an individual who came up to me and he says, "Kevin, how you doing?" He's a fellow gospel preacher. He said, "Kevin, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm doing quite well." And I call him by name. I'm not going to do that today. We're on television, I know. And he says, "Well, that's great." And he's looking, though, out into the crowd at other people. And I say, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, what?" I said, "Well, how are you doing? You ask me how I'm doing." He says, "Oh, I'm doing great." And he's still looking out into the crowd. And he says, "Well, I've got to go. Before I go, how are you doing?" I'm like, "You didn't hear a word I just said." Words are important. And whether we are dealing with an individual who is dying or someone who appearing in appearance has many years left to live, we need to listen very closely to what people are saying and to let them know that they are important to us and that which they have to share is important with us. But friends, also, I believe that it is most important for us to realize that every word that we speak needs to be carefully constructed. I remember that there was a time in my life where I didn't get this. There was a time in my life where that I would just say things randomly. And I would say things that weren't necessarily laced with love, if you would. I would just say it, to be quite frank, just as I saw it. And oftentimes, I know looking back on it, is that I had to hurt some people with the things that I had to say. And there's one thing with hurting someone with the words that you had to say and saying it with love because you love them and you're trying to do what you can to wake them up. I get that there's that angle to that, but to be quite honest, I wasn't like that years and years ago. I would just say whatever was on my mind. And the way that it came out, the person had to receive it. And then they had to process it and deal with it. Brethren, I've learned the older that I get is that there are times that I'm required to say things. I need to say things. But always, whenever I have something to say, I need to make sure that I say it in love. And that I put careful thought or consideration into my words because those same words that I have chosen to speak will either tear down or build up. And therefore, I want to encourage each and every one of us as we speak, to speak words very carefully and to make sure that we put thought into the things that we have said. You know, with regard to our lesson this morning, famous last words, a person's last words that they speak are often thought to be most important. those situations that I mentioned a moment ago, and even some others, where that I've been with members of the church usually, and on one occasion I can think of an individual who was an atheist whenever he died, but for the most part I've been with members of the Lord's church whenever they have passed from this life into eternity, and with their family, and in the moment whenever they say those last words, it doesn't always resonate. It doesn't always go and click with the family what it is that they have just heard. And I've been there where the family's turned to me and they've said, what were their last words? I've been in that situation where I've not been able to remember. And I said, I'm sorry, I was thinking about their situation and I just didn't get it. I've been in that situation, though, where I did. And I try to, especially the older I get, the more situations I'm in like that, I try to pay closer attention. And I've been able to share with the family. Here's what they said. And the family, for whatever reason, seems to hang on to those words. Those words seem to be very important to the family whenever they lose that loved one. You say, Kevin, how do you know? Because they share those words with other family members and with friends in the days, weeks, months to follow. We have recorded for us in Scripture the words, last words of so many different ones. You go back into the Old Testament Scripture, we have some of the last words of Solomon. Solomon in his wisdom. Now there was a time when he didn't act in a wise manner, but Solomon in his wisdom, he identifies there's a time to live and a time to die. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2. He identifies in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is that whenever man dies, his body returns to the ground from which it came and the soul goes back to the Creator. And in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verses 13 and verse 14, Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, for the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's whole. Those are some of his last words. And I'm encouraged by those words. I think of Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. He's led the children of Israel into the promised land. And this man knows that he's getting ready to die. And therefore he says, choose you for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods whom your father served on the other side of the flood. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's come into the New Testament Scripture. Jesus. Those words on the cross resonate with us, do they not? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And today we know why God stood back and allowed Him to endure the cross. Why? Because of our sins. We also look to the words where Jesus cries out unto the Heavenly Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They knew that they were nailing Jesus to the cross, but at the same time, they didn't realize that He was the Savior, and Jesus knew that. And therefore, He says, Father, forgive them. This is heaven's eternal plan. And then His final words. It is finished. And then He gave up the ghost. Today, I believe that we know that He was speaking about more than the finality of His life. I believe you and I know that He was talking about it is finished. It is God's eternal plan that has now come to a close. Everything is in place for man's redemption. And then He died. Our text this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through verse 8. And these words are some of the Apostle Paul's last words to a young man whom we know as Timothy, who was an evangelist. I want to challenge you, and I'm not going to do it this morning, but I want to challenge you to read 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, Paul is in prison, and Paul, though, seems to be very upbeat in comparison to 2 Timothy. in 1 Timothy, he's writing to this young evangelist, encouraging him in his work to go out and proclaim God's Word. And as he's doing so, we find is that there seems to be this level of anticipation of thought that says, I'm going to get out. There's greater works that God has for me. But then you come into what we read in 2 Timothy. He's downbeat. He's in prison again. And as a result of this, we learn from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, for the time of my departure is at hand. You see, Paul is expressing in these words is that he was ready to die. He says, finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. He knew that he was dying. There were times that, as Paul would have looked back over his life, he would not have been ready to have died. You say, Kevin, what do you mean by that? There was a time in his life that he thought that he was right in the sight of God, but at the same time, it was revealed to him on the road to Damascus by Jesus Christ our Lord, is that he was a man that only thought he was saved. He was lost in the sight of God. And it's only after he is led into Damascus and taught by a man by the name of Ananias, he is taught the will of God. And having been taught God's will concerning salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord, Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, we read that he is baptized into Christ. Acts 22 and verse 16, he was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And he received God's forgiveness of sin that very hour. And from that point on, then, we find a man who has worked diligently to change his life, to no longer live for the Paul of whom he once was, but now to focus his life fully upon God. And as a result of that, friends, we find is that he forsakes all. He put the world behind him. He's looking to the example that Jesus Christ has set before humanity and before him. And he did everything that he possibly could to live daily for God, but also to serve God. And I want to also challenge us this morning to read from Acts chapters 9 and following, really, but chapters 12 and following. And read about the work that this man did on his missionary journeys and journeys to Rome. Amazing work. He was not perfect. And he realized his imperfections. Romans chapter 7, verses 13 through 13 and following, actually. He says, the things that I know to do, I find myself not doing. The things that I know not to do, those are the things that I find myself doing.